Welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hooter Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Evan Lionheart of readingsbyevan.com from New Jersey, and in just a moment we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of luckymojo.com in Forestville, California, Conjurman of conjurmanconsulting.com in Mission Viejo, California, and this week's special guest, Sister Girl of SisterGirlConjure.com in Los Angeles, California, bringing us today's topic of spell work with photographs. They will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest virtual hoodooist of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjure Man. Ms. Kat?
Hi. Well, that was a very sketchy opening to the show.
You're right.
It seemed as if somebody in the queue had their radio on, and so they were playing the theme music of the show live in the air, and it was picking up and therefore coming out about a half second or a second delay. It was pretty odd. So, but I think Nagashiva got it muted, and so there you go. I'm hearing a big sorry from Shutter in the chat. I don't know if it was Shutter or not, but whoever did it, it was somebody. Okay. Anyway, here we are. Shiva says it couldn't have been Shutter because she wasn't in the speaking queue. And so he thinks it was Sister Girl. Well, whoever it was.
It was. And all of a sudden, I had muted my computer, and all of a sudden, it came back on. I don't know what happened.
Well, that's the joy and honor of working with electrons. They do have a mind of their own. All right. Well, we got all that worked out. It was so funny because I was just posting. What I love about this music is it's always the same. And then I went, except today. all right. Well, let's see. What's new in my world? I'm just going to put in a little bit of a report, not so much about Lucky Mojo, although I do have to say I'm still doing these Lucky Mojo forum posts. If you follow Lucky Mojo at Facebook or follow me, Kat Ironwood, at Facebook or a few other places that will host them, we are grooming different Lucky Mojo forum threads. We're putting a photo at the beginning of each thread to signify it was groomed. The first post will always be by me, which also signifies it was groomed. And I am posting those to Facebook and other social media. And so I've been doing those, you know, at a goodly clip. It's fun to do them. I'll never get through because there's 15,000 topics at the forum, and so, of course, I can never do them all. But I'm having fun with some of the more popular threads. So if you like to follow along and see what's going at the forum, you know, do go on over. It's a free sign up. You know, you can use a fake name. No one's going to call you out for that. And join the conversation. It's quite a place. So that's one of the things I've been doing. I've been working on the Mystic Tea Room, as always. And the other thing I've been doing is working with the AIR Board of Directors. Now, I'm a member of the AIR Board of Directors, as is Nagashiva. Ms. Michael is a member. Ms. Robin, Lady Muse, John St. Germain. Have I missed anybody? Probably. I don't know. there's seven of us. I don't think that was seven. I think I missed somebody. Anyway, so there we are. We're the board, and we've been talking about adding some benefits to the air site. Now, y'all remember, I talked about this a couple years ago, maybe 3 years ago, that we have churches. AIR is, you know, the Association of Independent Religious and Root Workers is a committee of the AISC, Association of Independent Spiritual Churches. And we started a few years ago a little extra directory. In addition to the directory of the names of readers and root workers, we have a directory of churches. And you can go there, and those churches can have what are called off-links or off-site links to their church, where they offer usually spiritual services. It can be readings that they offer, and it can be that they offer candle services and even root work. Now, what's the difference between a church and a person? Well, just as an example, I can give one example. I know a reader who is a member of AIR, and she has a church, and she also hires other readers to work at her church. And so if you go to the church to get a reading, you may not get this AIR member, but you'll get one of her employees or her. So we couldn't let her advertise those employees unless they joined AIR, right? But through her church, she offers a wider range of services. She also has a candle service for people, and she also makes some products. So it's the making of the products that led to the next thing. So what we're going to be doing during the course of the year 2021, we're going to be offering a new service, members, and also to the public, which is listings of spiritual supply shops. Now, the shops have to be owned by an AIR member or they don't get listed, obviously. And they will be listed in the directory at the left-hand side of the AIR page. This isn't going to happen overnight, folks, so just wait and watch for it. And there are pages already at the AIR site that offer names of the shops, but they're not a link. It's just a word, you know, Lucky Mojo Curio Company or Carnivalia or, you know, Lionheart Candles and Curios or whatever it is, but there's no link. So this is going to be a new tier of membership for AIR members if they wish to list their shops. And there's going to be another tier probably roll out as part of it, which will be metaphysical authors and webcasters, podcasters, and those will be links as well. But we're building it in stages. So the first stage will be the shops. So you'll be able to go to AIR for shopping as well. Now, you can't shop at the AIR site, but you can then go to your favorite store that's owned by an AIR member, and you can then place your orders at that shop. So pretty neat deal. It's all coming out in 2021. So that's what I've been working on. I hope everybody enjoys it. I hope people are enthusiastic about it. I think it's a good idea because, you know, we are all here to help each other. And there are about, you know, 30-some members of AIR. We're also looking for new members of AIR. I want to let you all know that. If you have graduated from my course, you're eligible to become a member at Hoodoo Psychics and at AIR. Now, Hoodoo Psychics is owned by Deacon Millett. It's a private organization, and you don't have to be a member of AIR to be a member of Hoodoo Psychics and vice versa, but most people are both. And I recommend it to anybody who has graduated. If you're thinking of a career in this, and given what the pandemic has done to walk-in shops, we all need all the publicity, reach that we can get, and so there you go. As Doc Murphy said, promoting each other, that's what we do. And Evan Lionheart says, technology and innovation, yay. Well, Evan, we haven't even gotten down to how you and I are going to be doing this for these people. But I will tell you, I'm just going to give you a little hint, Evan. The board approved that the money that they will pay to be listed in that third tier, well, mm-hmm. part of it will go to the workers who do the coding, because it's way beyond tech. Yeah, right. Because it's beyond tech team volunteerism, right? You get that. Yeah. Definitely. All right. So that looks like you and me and maybe Nagashiva, you know, we'll pick up a few bucks coding, but some of the money will go to AIR, of course. I mean, it's also to raise money for the AIR programs, of which one of the biggest ones is the pro bono fund. Yeah. All righty. So that's my news. What's your news, Countryman?
Well, first, I think that's fantastic news. I think anyone who's looking to sort of promote their shop or their supplies, Air is a fantastic resource. I always point this out. People think forget. Air isn't just a directory of people. There's like hundreds and hundreds of links to various psychic things, readings, spiritual stuff. I mean, it's an entire encyclopedia. So it's showing up on Google. It's a very smart idea to be linked with there. So just putting that out there. But on my end, I've been quite busy. The holidays are certainly ramping up, and like I mentioned last week, it's the time of the yearly readings. People want to know what 2021 is going to look like for them, and so I've been doing lots of annual forecasts, year ahead forecasts, life readings, which I enjoy doing. Some of my favorite type of readings where people really just want to know, hey, is this the year I'm going to get married? Hey, am I going to find the job that I want? What is post-graduation work going to look like? So it's been fun. I'm all booked up for December, but I have opened up my January reading. So if anyone's interested, check it out. But there is an interesting theme that is definitely emerging, and we've mentioned this. And I'm just going to note, I'm going to keep track of this until it starts to change. They are all COVID-tinged. All of it is, am I going to be going back to work? Am I going to be furloughed? Is it possible for me to even get a job when I graduate? So a lot of this stuff is, the person that I meet, is it going to consistently be long distance? So all of this stuff is very, very much tied into the experience of the pandemic. And so it's fascinating. Some of it's very heartbreaking, but it really speaks to the fact that we're all in this together. Whatever your question is about 2021, whether it's about love or money or whatever, everyone is dealing with the same set of circumstances, and that is the pandemic.
Yep, pandemicsville. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. I mean, I didn't want to get in there. That has been quite a thing. And I'll tell you, with the pandemic comes the involuted search for socio-cultural novelty. You know, the search for socio-cultural novelty is like little rootlets reaching out, you know, into the ground looking for socio-cultural novelty. But when one is in the quarantine phase, it's like the little roots being grown in a bottle. And you can see them all pressing up against the glass, and eventually they curl in on each other. Yeah, I have probably spent, during this course of the last 4 days, I have spent probably 20-some hours watching YouTube videos about parrot training, okay? Just saying. Parrot training. Birdtricks.com. Check it out. A charismatic couple and their little charismatic daughter, who's even more charismatic than they are, who are stage magicians who have a kind of an act where you make doves manifest. But they went beyond doves, and then it went into gala cockatoos, and now it's yellow and blue macaws, which are very, very, very large birds to make come out of your nowhere and manifest in the middle of nothing. And birds flying out over the audience and taking people's wedding rings. But they also do actual, you know, clinics and helping people who have distressed birds. So they are both a magic show with birds, and they are, they kind of do for birds what we do for human clients. They kind of look into them and get a psychic fix on them. It's fascinating. Anyway, at least I know that Dr. Jeremy Weiss, who's in the chat room right now, look up David Da Vinci. And the man's name is not Da Vinci, it's Womack. But you can't do a bird act without having an Italian last name, right, Jeremy? Ain't that right? You have to have an Italian last name if you're going to do a bird act. So, because that's where those acts originated, was in among street performers in Italy. So, yeah, he's David Da Vinci on stage. All right. Well, let's bring in our guest. I'm telling you, pandemic makes you do funny things. I mean, I got a lot of clients who are crying, but I'm watching bird videos. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, Doc Murphy, you have an Italian last name. She says that in the chat. Well, Doc Murphy, when are you going to start producing doves? Come on. All right. Today's special guest from AIR is Sister Girl. So welcome to the show, Sister Girl.
Thanks.
Welcome,
hi.
Welcome.
Yeah, nice to have you here.
Oh, yeah.
So tell us what's going on in your part of the world. Give us the update first and what you're doing and, you know, how people can reach you and all that.
You know, I'm taking lockdown pretty seriously. You know, I'm in Los Angeles, so we're locked down again. And I'm fostering adult cats now instead of kittens. And I've been doing readings and candle work, root work. But you mentioned before that people have been reaching out to you for yearly forecasts. I've been getting a lot of love readings and some money readings. A lot of people, even though everybody is aware of the pandemic, a lot of people just want sort of, I guess they want a distraction from it, or it's forced them to think about their love life. That's what I've been noticing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm happy to read about any of it. And so I've been on Hoodoo Psychics quite a lot. And I also have my website, sistergirlconjure.com. But mostly I've been taking this time, the last week, you know, I know last time I was on with you guys, I mentioned that I was feeling kind of down. You know, in the last week or so, I'm not feeling so down. I'm just sort of taking this time to plan for the future because I think we're going to be in this for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And just have to just plan for when we come out of this.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, this is, you know, now they're going to have a vaccine very soon. I hope I'm going to be in the first few waves of it. I qualify at least for elderliness, if nothing else. But I know there's people who don't qualify in any way, and yet they ought to. And we're going to have to stick with this until every last person gets vaccinated. So.
Yeah.
It's going to be a while. It's definitely
well, and
going
a lot
a
of people
while.
Are afraid of the vaccine. I mean, a lot of people don't want to take it. They want to wait. They don't. And I understand that fear, but I'll take it as soon as regular people can get it.
Yeah, I want to take it as soon as possible too, because I'm tired of being cooped up. I mean, my little rootlets are turning inward. I'm studying, you know, green cheek conures. You know, I mean, no, seriously, I'm studying frickin' green cheek conures now and budgies and, you know, Moluccan cockatoos. What the heck happened here? I've gone stir crazy. I've gone mad, I tell you. I was dreaming of these frickin' macaws. I woke up, Deacon Millett woke me up. We have our Sunday morning call at, you know, at 9 o'clock in the morning. The phone rings and he goes, what are you dreaming? Because he knew I was asleep. He goes, what are you dreaming? I'm dreaming of macaws. Oh, Lord. All right.
I've been having some strange dreams too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Strange times. Strange dreams for strange times.
COVID
all right, well,
are
we have
a
COVID fever dreams, yeah. So we have a topic. So let's get to our topic. Our topic is spell work with photographs. And I'm going to give a little intro like I always do for every topic. Intro is brief. A lot of people think that spell work with photographs must be recent. Because they're not really kind of understanding the history of humanity on this planet. So there are photographs that go back, you know, they became common around the Civil War. Oh, now they're going to go, what Civil War? When was the Civil War? Civil War, 1860 to 1865. But the taking of photographs really started to take off in the 1850s. And it actually started a little before that. And there were different kinds of photographs, you know, tintypes, daguerreotypes, whatever, different methods of making the photograph appear, and making it appear on different surfaces, paper, metal, and so forth. But photographs existed. So what did people do before photographs? Well, one thing they did was they used people's shadows. And so anything that we tell you about photos can be done with a shadow, and or even a shadow of a photograph of a shadow. So by a shadow, I mean someone's walking along, and you talk to them, and you get them to stand, and you see where their shadow is, and you just kind of mark it out with your eyeballs, and when they move away, you can just take some dirt from that. Their shadow is resting there. Or if you're bold, you just bend down like you're going to tie your shoe and grab a little dirt from their shadow while they're standing there casting the shadow. So that's a photograph as well. And before shadow magic, I don't know what, because that goes back to the Etruscans. So that's ancient. But there's also drawings, and people would make a drawing of somebody. A good, talented artist could make a drawing and make a spell using the drawing just as much as a photo. And in modern times, in addition to photos and snapshots, we also have the ability to use photo editing tools like Photoshop, which will allow us to composite photos and make new created photos. Having said all of that, let me turn it over to Sister Girl.
Yeah, well, that's really interesting about the history. You're always very knowledgeable about the history and stuff. But I love to use photos it's for me, it's a type of personal concern, because I feel that just as you're known by your name, your birthday, your foot track, you know, you're also known by your image, by the way you look. And so if a lot of times, and especially more and more these days, people may not have personal concerns, or if they do have them, it would take a week to get them, and then you'd have to deal with it. And I know that hair and different other personal concerns are considered stronger, but I find that photographs can be very effective.
Said something really important. I want to jump in and say absolutely yes. When we make a nation sack for somebody, or when we make a jackball, we ask them to send in, you know, some personal concerns, hair, name on paper, things like that. But the photo can be transmitted instantly. That's one of the most important things you just said, is really what's given photo work more prominence now because of digital transmission. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, but I like to put them in honey jars, along with the name paper and the herbs and the packet of herbs. I like to put a picture in there. I like to use it with candle work, because I find that it just helps to show who you're talking about. And certain workings are very important. I mean, for me, the name and birthday is the main thing, but a picture is very good for certain types of work.
Dr. Sweets asked the question in the chat. It said that the photo is the weakest form of personal concerns. Actually, I did not say that. Yeah, I don't agree with that. I would say the weakest form of concern is writing the person's name on paper yourself. What about you, Ollie? What do you think?
Yeah, I think if you have a person's name and their photo, you've got a fantastic link right there. And we're living in the best age when it comes to photos. We're living in the age where everyone's got an Instagram or a Facebook or something where their photos are available to the public that you can find. We're living in an era where you can manipulate photos using all sorts of digital technologies. So when I hear a client, I don't have their photo, that, as for me as a reader, already tells me something. Same thing if you've got a person who's working on their ex and you go, okay, well, give me a photo when you all were together. I don't have a photo when we were together. That tells us something. And photos are captured moments in time. They're extraordinarily powerful, and you can work with them to create powerful links. And they themselves have all sorts of magic associated with them. I mean, one of the really cool old-timey spells involved with photos, and Kat, you can talk to this. So it's like probably one of the an example of the development of the technology of the photograph, but also the development of the revolver, where you place a photo outside and you shoot the photo as an act of harming that person. So we see photos used in hoodoo for a long, long time. It's not just, oh, this is a post-2000 thing. No, they've been around for a while, and working with them, not just as a personal concern, but as an act of magic, is a very important aspect of hoodoo.
Yeah. I'm going to say something. You mentioned the name on the photo, and I'm going to mention the birth date, because the birth date is another link. And if you have the name and the birth date on the photo, that to me makes the photo stronger. But the strongest is a signed photo to which you may add the birth date. In other words, if the person gives you a photo saying, you know, all my love, John, well, gee, there's the photo with the signature on it. So there are ways of photocompositing these as well. You know, you can, if you know how, get the person's signature off a check, off of a letter, off of whatever, and then you can photocomposite that, put it against a transparent background, put it on the photo, and add the birth date. There are even people clever enough, and I guess I'm one of them, to create fonts based on people's handwriting. You can, it's just a trip if you want to spend your time on it. So Shiva calls it photo spell shopping.
I have to give a word of caution, though, as someone who's made certain mistakes with I want to caution, people tend to do work on people they don't know very well and they're not connected to necessarily. Mm-hmm. And you can do that, and it may even work. However, you always stand the risk of, and of ending up in the same room with someone and they look at you and say, why are you here? Because, you know, you can actually hoodoo the hell out of something and create the situation you want. But if the person doesn't feel that connection, you can't create that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so,
in other words, you can create contact, but not always connection. And this goes back to something that I have said many, many times, and I'm going to say it again because it's a good topic to put it in. When I do work for people or read for people using photos, I always say, send me a photo of yourself, photo of the person, and a photo of the two of you together. Get me your birth date, their birth date. Mm-hmm. And they usually at that point go, oh, I don't know his birth date. And you've been living together how many years? You don't even know his birthday, and you're telling me you've been together 7 years, and now you had a fight, and you've been apart 1 year. Yeah, you're not going to get back together. And you don't have a photo of the two of you together? Well, you know, whatever. I mean, so there's something as a professional root worker, and we deal a lot in this show with training the next generation of professional root workers. If they don't have a photo of their lover and themselves together, or if the only photo they have of the two of them together is drunk in a bar, then you know something about that relationship is not strong yet. And you should undertake the root work accordingly.
But
go ahead.
I'm even talking about something a little less concrete than that. Like, let's say they've taken a shine to someone, and they know the person's name, and they know their birthday, and they've gotten a picture off of Facebook. One of my clients worked a situation about somebody that she really, really wanted, and it turns out the guy invited her to meet him in Hawaii for a vacation. She was like, wow, I just wanted to have dinner with you, but okay. She showed up in Hawaii. And it was quite awkward, but, you know, after a day or so, he just sort of says, this is awkward. You know, I don't know why I invited you. So she got what she wanted. She got to be with the guys she wanted, but he didn't really know why she was there. And so that's the caution. You can do these things. You can work something. You can create a situation. But just be careful that you even know the person.
I'm going to throw in something. I typed it in the chat room, but I want to speak about it too. Photos taken in a mirror can be really a mess. If you have two photos of people, one taken in a mirror and the other not, you cannot figure out their handedness without asking, and then you've got to take that photo and reverse it, the messed up photo. If they're all taken in mirrors, you just still have to reverse them, because handedness, especially in doing photopsychometry, but also in doing root work on people, you want to make sure that you understand dominant-handedness of the people. Just saying, you know, because if I say, put this in your right hand and you're left-handed, right, that isn't the same thing that if I say, put this in your left hand and you're right-handed, right? Your offhand, your dominant hand have meaning. And so nowadays, with all of these pictures taken in mirrors or reverse selfies or whatever you want to call them, it's really a trip. Now, if they're wearing words on their T-shirt, you can tell, but many times they're not, and you can't tell, so you have to ask. That has been one of the biggest stumbling blocks for me for digital transmission of photos. Also, you sometimes have difficulty. You're looking at one photo of somebody, and they just say they got a droopy side of one face, and their whole face is drooped, and it's the right side of their face. And then the next photo, they're drooped on the left side. You know that one of those photos is backwards. You got to find out from your client which it is.
Yeah.
What's the meaning of the left and right? I didn't know that.
Well, it would have to do with their handedness, whether it's the, which side of their brain has been affected, like if they had a stroke or if they have Bell's palsy. These are all going to have meaning to whether it's on their dominant side or their non-dominant side. In other words, a person who's had a stroke and their face is drooping on the right side, very likely they'll have weakness in their right hand and in their right foot. You have to ask the person, are we dealing with this or not? Sometimes they don't even know. They go, well, yeah, I did notice that, but I just did a reading for someone who had ancestors and sent me photos of the ancestors. These are great, great, great. The woman is totally spot on, looking right at the camera in Victorian clothes. She was an herbalist. She's a powerful lady. The man has half of his face in shadow because of the way the picture was taken, half in light, but the half that's in light is all drooped down. His eyelid is sunken down. It's like he has Bell's palsy. The side that's slightly in shadow, if you cover the side that's in the light that's all deformed looking, he's looking straight at you. And you get him saying, I am so angry this happened to me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's a farmer. He's a go-getter. He still wants you to know he's strong. But damn it, you know, this has disfigured him. And it has changed his temperament somewhat, too. So, yeah, you can see a lot of things that way from what you're getting. But it's his offside. Mm-hmm. He was right-handed, so it's his offside that has been affected. So he still has a lot of courage and get up and go in his right dominant side.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a thing. It's not only just photo reading, but working with those photos. Handedness is also important. If you tell someone to prepare their hand to shake someone's hand. Now, most people will shake with their right even if they're left-handed. But if you're in bed with someone or if you want to convey something with oil from your hand to their hand, you want to know which hand is their dominant hand. Just saying, you know, it's important to know that.
There are two other considerations to be aware of when you're working with photos. First and foremost, not all photos are the same. There's gradations of intimacy. The more intimate the photo, the stronger the link that you have. If it's a photo, for example, on a professional website, it's different from the photo of you two together in bed or you two together on a date. So there's gradations of intimacy when it comes to photos, and that provides different types of links and different ways of influencing a person. The other thing to consider is the quality of the photo itself. And I don't mean the actual digital quality. I mean, what does the photo convey? If you were doing love work and it's a photo of a person when they're angry, that says something, that does something, that has an effect on your particular work. So one of the things I often tell my clients when I am doing love work is find a photo of when you two were happy together, of a happy memory, and work with that photo. Because the photo, again, is capturing not just the person's essence, but the essence of that particular moment. And so be aware of the quality of the photo that you're working with. If it's a picture that you associate with anger and hurt, that's not the photo you want to be working with for love work or reconciliation work. So there's some considerations to take into mind when you're doing work with photos.
So we've got a bunch of stuff going on in the chat, and I'm going to try to catch this up real quick. Nagashiva kind of started this talking about working with photos. And what he put in was stuff about burning photos on incense, putting photos under candles, putting oils on photos. I never put oils on photos. It's useless. It just gunks them up. Putting powders on photos. Yes, I do. Photos as petitions. Well, I wouldn't call them petitions, but I would call them papers upon which petitions can be written and drawn. If you look, for instance, in some of the books we've published, like, oh my gosh, Who to Return Reconciliation Spells, there are a number of ways to use photos in petition papers or as petition papers. Shiva wrote frying up photos. Yep, that's a good one. And Evan said putting them under candles and burning them. Yep. And freezing them, says Doc Murphy, boiling them to pulp, then freezing them. So these are different types of spells, if you know about freezer spells. If you don't, just go to the book Bottle Up and Go, or you can go to the webpage luckymojo.com/freezer.html. And you don't even need to boil them to a pulp. Like Doc Murphy says, you can also just wet them. I often will wet photos with alum water, for instance, if I want someone to shut up, and then I will freeze it. So photos are very amenable to being used that way. Photos can also be used as packet coverings. So you can put herbs in them and stuff like that, wet them, and then put them in the freezer with the herbs in them so they become the wrapping. You can, some people still like to use aluminum foil because they just like aluminum foil so much, but you know, but you can also put a packet like that that's folded up inside of a honey jar. And Evan talked about putting papers in a smoothie. So this goes to something that Lukianos taught us at a Hoodoo Heritage Festival a number of years ago. He did it for 2 years running, and I've mentioned it before on the radio show. It was called Drink Your Sins, Drink Your Prayers. And he prepared different bottles with different herbs in them for different types of sins and also for different types of redemptions or prayers. And then you wrote out on a paper what your sin was, and you pour it onto it, the liquids. You then drank the liquid. You could also eat the roll up the paper and just eat it. Then you had a petition for your redemption or your prayer, and you would then do the same thing with some prayer herbs in that he had distilled into these liquids, and you did it. It was a wonderful way of working. It's like working with teas, but he was using alcohol-based liquids and herb-based teas. It was kind of a combination, depending on what the sin and what the prayer was. Anyway, it was very, very effective. And names on papers are sufficient. Photos are sufficient. And, of course, you can use edible paper, very thin paper. And you can also make sure you want to use an edible ink when you write on it.
I like to even put a photo in, like, say, if you're going to make a doll, a puppet or something, and bind somebody, bind it up and throw it away. If you have a picture of the person that you're working on, I like that. I find that can be an identifier.
One of the oldest reconciliation spells involves one of the oldest photo reconciliation involves really simple working, like placing the photo of the person on your headboard so that they are thinking of you or dreaming of you. The other one is placing the photo under a glass of water and placing the glass of water next to your bed. These are all very simple ways of doing work with photos, with prayer, with intention, to get the person to start to dream of you, to think of you, and to desire to return back to you.
So, you know, there's a... the drink your sins thing, says Evan. Good, I'm glad you got some notice of that. Lukianos really deserves a lot of praise for designing that work. So photos are also used to write on, not just using the back of the photo to write a petition, but people will also draw on the photo, X-ing out the eyes if you don't want someone to see, drawing stitches across the mouth if you don't want someone to talk. And, of course, you can also... put hearts all around it like a little halo if you want someone to show love. So working with the photo as an art project is another way to go. And you can in the past, I have used finger paints to color and enhance a photo of somebody. I've also used Prang watercolor paints, and anything like that will serve, because your artistry in modifying the photo becomes important. For instance, let's say you're the outside lover of some person who's married and says they're going to get divorced. You get a picture of the two of them together off of social media, and now you begin to black out his wife. And you might, you know, you start by graying her out a little bit, and you just keep on going until she's gone. And then you don't just, I mean, you could also just cut them apart, make a breakup spell. But if you want them to, you know, he says, no, really, we're separating, we're getting a divorce, you don't need to go all pinking shears on it. You just start graying her out, blacking her out. Or you can start drawing over her, you know, her little ideas of, you know, like words like doubt, you know, should I stay or should I go? And then you can cut her away, and that leaves him, and then you're going to have to join his photo to your photo. And if possible, try to pose, if you're smart, try to pose a photo where you are in the same position relative to him that was on that other photo. Don't tell him why. Just want to take a photo of us in front of the giant elephants at Disneyland. Why not? And then you put your photo in where her photo was.
Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of writing on the photos themselves, particularly across a person's face. If I'm trying to influence them, I'll write, for example, a command on their forehead when I use that photo as a petition paper or as a personal link. It's a way of really driving home what I want them to do. So, for example, love me or shut up or obey, something across their forehead. And if you're really angry, rather than write on the back of the photo, you can write on the front of the photo, writing your petition all across the photo, covering it entirely with your command, forcing them to hear and obey you.
I've done it where I've used mirror writing on their forehead back in the days before we had these mirror selfies. So I would do it in mirror writing, and then I would hold it up to a mirror, right? So I want to increase someone's doubt was a word I used previously. And I would just write doubt on their forehead backwards. Mm-hmm. Then I hold their photo up to the mirror and I say, every time you look in the mirror, this is what you see. And it's the word doubt, and it's four words, right? Yeah.
Fantastic, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes if you're doing reconciliation work, there is a school of thought where you have, you know, the two people who you want to reconcile, you write the opposite names on the opposite photos so that they'll be drawn together. So they'll see there's themselves and the other person. I like that.
Mm-hmm. That's good, yeah. Opposite name on the opposite photo.
So burning photos is another fantastic way of working if you want to really bring pressure onto a person. Slowly singeing the photo. Let's say you have a person that you want to do what you want them to do what you want. But you want to add a little bit of pressure. You can take that photo and very carefully you singe it on an essence of bend over candle or a command candle. You want to make sure that you don't burn it entirely, just slightly singe so and so. You're feeling that heat and you let it kind of burn and it's make sure that it doesn't go all the way. And then you kind of repeat this over a period of time, really singeing around the edges, bringing the heat, bringing the pressure onto the person gradually.
Mm-hmm. Now, you can also glue photos to dolls, like little cloth dolls. You just can either cut out the face, or if you have a photo of the person standing, you can use that as sort of a silhouette, you know, cut that out silhouette form and glue it on a cloth doll. It's a very convenient, very easy way to work. Don't have it be too big. You don't want to make giant dolls, but it's a good way to go. And if you have just the face, you just glue that on. Use some kind of flexible glue, fabric glue is a good one.
That's great. Doug Murphy. Doug Murphy mentioned here photo box spells. Yeah, these are really fantastic. They're kind of the reversal of mirror boxes in order to get someone to really pay attention to you. Some people prefer a box. I actually prefer a jar in which I hang the photo of a person. I put them back to back, the same photo, so that they're back to back, glued on a string that hangs from the inside of the mason jar. And wrapped around on the outside of the mason jar is the photo of my client, so that wherever that person turns, they will be thinking about my client. It's a way of really kind of driving home the idea that everywhere you turn, you'll see them. Every smell you smell, you'll smell them. Everything you hear will remind you of them. It's a really fantastic way of kind of using proxy magic with photos and driving home that influence wherever they turn.
Yeah, this I think it was called A Vision of You is what we called that
mm-hmm.
one. Of course, you don't have to do them for love. You can also do them for contempt or whatever. For instance, you can put the photo of the person inside the jar, hanging from a little string that goes through the lid and is held in place by a coffin nail, and then you have pictures of you pointing and accusing, and on the bottom, pardon my language, on the bottom you take a photo of your asshole, it's like that's what you're gonna see. Kiss my ass.
That's really good. Something we haven't mentioned, and I'd like to see if both of you do this as well, is using photos of places. So one of the ways of using a photo as a personal concern is of a place. If, let's say, you want to influence a particular block, or you want to influence a particular house, or you want to influence an office or a police station, you can work with logos. It's a common way of doing it. You can work with the name of that company. But taking a photo of the place is another way. We've talked about, for example, gathering dirt from the places in previous episodes. But taking a photo of that place as a personal concern can also work. So something to consider is that photos don't just have to be about people. They can be of places as well, which you can influence through the photo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, photos of places are very important. And again, I think I've mentioned this, not too in the distant past. If you want to get a job at a certain place, take a photo of yourself by the logo of the building and so forth.
Yeah, I like that, especially if there's a place you want to purchase or a place you want to, protect or, like a house or something.
Yeah. There is a tradition of using ancestor photos too. Can you speak to that, Sister Girl?
The only thing that I know about that is using it to revere the ancestors. Like if you have photos of relatives that have passed away, you can put them on, a special place in your house, and you can burn candles and give them libations and that sort of thing, just to give them respect. That's as far as I know.
Oh, because I'm going to tell you, I know a bunch more then. You can take photos of the ancestors, and I've seen these composited, and I'm sure others have too. They were very popular in Victorian times, where the dead were, they didn't call it Photoshop then, they actually used emulsion sliding. It is a technique of photocompositing. Or sometimes it would be photos that would be cut out and then the whole thing would be re-photographed of the ancestors watching over somebody. And so these would be protective ancestor photos. And there are numerous examples of them, mostly now held in museums. They're the angel-type double exposure photos.
Yeah.
And the dead as double exposures, ghosts as double exposures. And in particular, during World War I, there was a family would have a missing family member. They wouldn't know if he was alive or dead. Last seen in Gallipoli, who knows where he is, And they would take a photo and composite him into the family photo as if he was there. Now you're here, right? And in some cases, they didn't even have a photo of him in uniform, and they would take a photo of a person in uniform, composite his face into it, and so now he's, shown in his wore uniform as a standing member of the family unit. It's a very, very common magical work that was done for the family's benefit.
The way I've been taught is that if you're going to do anything with photographs of people that have passed on, you don't want to use photographs that include people that are still living. Because
yeah, that's
because
you come from an ATR. Right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. No, that's just the tradition there. They don't do that.
Yeah. It is not the tradition in Hoodoo. In Hoodoo, ancestors are included in these photos all the time. And sometimes, like I said, it's double exposures. And this ATR thing of not including ancestors in with the living, I don't know when it was invented, because, of course, photos came to Africa and to Afro-Caribbean religions at some specific time, whatever. But when they came to a Black American Christian world, they did not come with this prescription against including ancestors. And what was explained to me by some ATR members is the idea the ancestors will call them and take them. Quite the opposite among my Christian friends, the ancestors will protect them. The ancestors will watch over them. And it's particularly fortuitous to find an ancestor who favors you, who the child favors. And there are cases of like, say, a grandmother dies while the grandchild is still in the womb, and the grandchild will never be able to be held by a grandmother. And so a photo of the grandmother is taken with the photo of the mother and the baby, and the grandmother is comped in, is what they used to call it in graphic design. The grandmother is comped in so that now the baby will be raised with a photo showing grandma there, even though grandmother couldn't be there. Yeah, very, very common. And it is absolutely the exact opposite of what you see in the ATRs. ATRs have a real fear of having those ancestor photos.
Well, it doesn't come from Africa, the African branch. It comes more from the Spanish Spiritismo kind of tradition.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't exactly know where it came from, but it is something that's passed on.
Yeah, it is a custom.
Photos of an ancestor holding photos of an ancestor holding a baby, and then after they've passed on, are particularly fortuitous. So if a person, for example, a great grandmother was alive when the baby was around, but then passed on when the baby became a child or an adult, that photo, that memory, which they may not have, but the record of the ancestor holding the child, is considered uniquely blessed. And so you'll often find on what we call ancestral altars, but really are just kind of spaces where people keep the family Bible and images, they're generally the most prominent photo in African-American households. So generally by the front door or on a mantelpiece, you'll find the images of the ancestors, some form of family Bible that's been passed down, you know, from generation to generation, various trinkets, almost always some type of statue of an angel. Very, very common, right? These little statues of angels. And then that image of the ancestor holding the child, either from when they were actually holding the child or because, as Kat mentioned, some form of composite photo, almost always very prominent, because the idea is that they were a protector in life and now they are a protector in the afterlife, and they will keep watch over that child as that child grows up.
Grateful Diana has a question, because we kind of drifted a bit aside in the chat, that the ATRs also prohibit images of deities and ancestors in the bedroom. And the question was, why? And Grateful Diana said, is it because of modesty and ancestors watching in the bedroom? I believe it is so, and I believe it comes from the Catholic. It's not African. I believe it's ATR, but it's more ADR, African Diasporic Religion, and I do believe it comes from Catholic anti-sexuality.
We should point out that there's a sort of a related tradition to this, the idea that, and this is a slightly darker working of crossing, that you can steal a person's blessing by taking a photo from their house. So this is a very old trick that if you want to double cross somebody and you go over to their house, they don't know you're an enemy or they don't know that you're doing sneaky work, you steal a small photo. Either of them or them with their family or them at a particularly happy place, and then use that as a personal concern for any type of working you do. So this is you not taking a picture from online. This is not you finding a photo. This is you actually going to their home and stealing the photo. That's a way of stealing someone's blessing and then using that photo and sort of crossing work and cursing work.
Well, I want to speak a little bit to that whole thing about the bedroom thing. Well, it's for a couple of reasons from what I know. The bedroom is where you're going to be resting. And if you've got a lot of spiritual activity in your room, you may not be able to rest if you're spiritually sensitive. Also, you do lots of things in your bedroom, like be naked and have sex. And when you have ancestral stuff in your house in the ATR tradition or in the diaspora tradition, you wouldn't have sex in front of your grandmother. I don't care how modern and free you are. So it's wouldn't do that in front of your altar.
Dead.
No.
If she was dead.
We're considering it like they're there.
Yeah, I get that. I get that, and I don't think that we're talking two different languages here. For instance, if I wanted to have a child that bore a resemblance to my great grandmother or my grandmother, I would call her in. And in fact, among people who believe in reincarnation, they often will actually specifically have sex in an attempt to have a baby that calls in the spirit of the dead. So,
it's the difference between calling the spirit in and actually having an image there with you. That's what I think.
I know you think that. I agree. I agree. We disagree. In the Chinese sacred sex work, the ancestor family altar is at the north. At the south is a view of the landscape, so that you have the real world at your south, at the ancestors and their photos and all their mementos are at the north, and then on the east you have the male family line and the male deities, and on the west you have the female line and the female deities, and that is how it's done. And they don't say, oh, you can't have those ancestors on the north. They want them there. They want them there. So again, these are each different cultures. And again, I'm not saying one is right or one is wrong. Follow the culture that your heart, you know, puts you in, and understand it. You can also be someone who doesn't agree with every part of that culture, but you know, that's how we get these fabulous schisms that create even ever more religions. But the idea of the photos, let's go back to the photos. So if you feel awkward having photos of your ancestors in your bedroom, what do you do if you live in a one-room shack? You can't have photos of your ancestors at all? That's a question for you, Sister Girl.
The idea, what you do then is you would either have a little screen where you screen it off, or you put a white sheet over it.
Okay.
Yeah, the white sheet.
All right. See, now among Jews, if you put a sheet over it, it's just like, you know, I'm going, no. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if Jeremy is going hearing this too. No, you wouldn't put a sheet over it. My God, that would cut them off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think it speaks to, it just speaks to the different relationship that people have to the dead. Some have a slightly more contained relationship, some have a little bit more open one. But the point here is that in all of these traditions, the idea is that the photo of the ancestor is a link to the ancestor, that it's something you can use. If you have an ancestor's name, great. If you have an ancestor's photo, even better. Place that on an ancestral altar. It's a way of really connecting to them. And one of the great things, again, about living in the 21st century is that you now have access to all sorts of records we didn't have in the past, whether it's, you know, county records or ancestry.com or whatnot, where you can find these photos and then place them on your ancestral altars. Finding, you know, a photo of your ancestor who was a Union soldier during the Civil War, or who was a riveter, or whatnot. These are really great ways of making connections to those spirits.
Well, and also, you know, it's not that you would turn pictures around because sex is shameful or embarrassing. There's a lot of energy with sex. It's very strong energy, and you want to be careful of the strong energies that you're putting in a place where you also want to rest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, that was an interesting end to that conversation, and there was our music. So we're going to go to our reading. So let me turn this over to Evan.
Absolutely. Stay tuned. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with your host, Catherine Ironwood, Conjure Man, and this week's special guest, Sister Girl, will be right back. Support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by Hoodoo Psychics, the first psychic line run entirely by Hoodoo practitioners. Receive a reading with a trusted rootworker instantly. Call 1-888-4-HOODOO or visit hoodoopsychics.com. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of the Association of Independent Spiritual Churches, located online, crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and talk to our clients. Our client today is Kayla, calling from area code 570. Kayla, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Kayla. Thank you for trusting us with your situation today. And it doesn't appear that you've ever had a reading with either our guest or Conjure Man or Miss Cat. Is that correct?
Correct.
Perfect. Thank you so much. I'm going to go ahead and read a brief synopsis of your situation before turning it over to our host. Kayla writes, I'm going through some legal issues that have taken place for over 5 years. What does the future have in store for me? I was wondering if there were any blocks or curses or other unseen issues I might not be aware of. What are your insights about my situation, and how do you think I should proceed? Turning it over to you, Ms. Kat.
All right, Kayla. All right. So I'm going to ask a couple of questions. Two questions. What is your sign of the zodiac?
I'm a Libra.
A Libra. Oh, that's good for law, good for legal things. I guess I have three questions. About how old are you?
32.
Oh, good. So you're past your Saturn return. This is why this has been going on for a while, and you might be getting, you know, done with it. And the third question, and this is important, I think, for us as far as our understanding and reading, is this a criminal matter or a civil matter?
It was criminal.
Criminal matter. All right. That makes a difference in terms of the kind of spell we're going to recommend and, you know, what we're going to go through here. All right. I'm going to turn this over to Conjure Man to do your first reading. Then we'll have Sister Girl do your second reading, and I will give you some root work advice.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Kat. Kayla, when is your next court date for this criminal matter? Is it coming up?
It's in a couple months, yeah.
It's in a couple months. Okay, so the reason I ask this is because when I cast a geomantic chart, we can divide up the year to see which part of the year looks better than the other. It's a way we divide it up actually into three parts. And the beginning part of your year is actually a little bit rougher, and so this might speak to that core issue. We have Rubius, which is the cup overturned, and this is an indication of things taking a turn for the worse, of an upset that is happening in the beginning portion of your year. And why it's significant is because the reverse figure of this is Albus, which is the figure of justice. So an injustice or something working against you, this is a very clear sign that whatever you do, you need to do court case work and court case work immediately in order to address this, because the beginning portion of your year is very, very difficult. It will come with upsetting news and things taking a turn for the worse. This may be related to an ally or your lawyer or your representative or a witness, but there's a third party involved here, that there will be a sudden reversal with this third party, which will have a deep impact on you and will actually end up working in a way that's not favorable for you. So be aware of this at the beginning. 2021 comes out with a real hit here, and really early on, you're going to find some very upsetting news. That does not mean that you're sort of doomed. We have Fortuna Minor as the ultimate result, meaning that you can be victorious, but you're going to require outside aid. You're going to have to bring on someone who will assist you with this. You can't just do this work on your own. And you must also be aware, and this is where we have to kind of manage a little bit of expectations, that there's only so much you can do. So if you're guilty, for example, or if this is something something that you've done. You need to work with clemency work. You need to do work with things like sumac and whatnot in order to achieve some level of leniency or clemency. That's what Fortuna Minor speaks to, the ability to affect some change without having total victory. So it's considered the small fortune or the small victory here. There is a sense of loss here. You may end up not getting everything that you want. You might not be as successful as you hoped for, but there is some wiggle room here, and it's within that wiggle room that you want to bring in your ally to help you so that you are successful, at least to a certain degree. The final figure that we have here is a miso. A miso is an indication of some type of emotional loss or relationship loss, and an indication that this will have an impact on your immediate surroundings. So I'm not sure if you're in a relationship or a friendship or whatnot, but there's some loss here in regards to the relationships themselves. So we see a sort of double hitter here. You have the beginning portion of the year, which is really around this sort of legal matter, suddenly taking a turn in a way that you hadn't hoped for, and then the end portion of the year having some difficulties in regards to friendships, relationships, etc. There's some type of loss associated with this. All of this is to say that 2021 is a difficult year, a challenging year. That's not to say that you're doomed to have a horrible year and there's nothing you can do about it. There is some wiggle room with that Fortuna Minor, but you're going to have to start working towards a better year, starting with court casework and doing something to really set the tone for 2021. Something, for example, on New Year's Eve, some type of working that'll help to kind of really change the tone of the entire year. Oh, bring in some good things, bring in some allies, help you to be successful where you can, and also to mitigate some of this damage to ensure that you can sort of avoid the hurt and the loss that's sort of coming your way in 2021. So a little bit more challenging of a reading than we had hoped for, but know that there are things you can do in order to address it. So this is what I see here. I'm going to turn this over to Sister Girl, and then Miss Cat is going to give you some root work recommendation.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, hi. So I didn't get the same info that Congressman Ali got, but I wanted to ask you this: are you someone who works for yourself? Are you independent? Are you are you a nurse at all, or any kind of thing like that?
I'm a home healthcare worker.
Okay, so I got the Nine of Coins, so that is you. That represents you. It's a woman there who is an independent woman, and a nurturing woman. So that makes sense to me. The next card out that I got was the Ace of Coins, and then I got the Hermit, which is telling me that I do see things working out in terms of this court case in your favor, justice being served. However, right now you don't see it, and you may not. The decision may come to you all of a sudden. The Nine of Coins indicates that. You know, you may be just doing your own thing, and then you get the decision comes to you. It's sent to you or it's told to you. The fourth card out here is the heart of the issue here is the Star card, which is also saying that what you hope for, things can work out. However, I would actually recommend you do a spiritual bath. Maybe Miss Cat has some ideas for what kind of a bath. Whenever I get the Star card, because this is a woman bathing, I always think, oh, a spiritual bath would help here. I don't think that the decision will be, justice will be served. I think it will be in your favor. It may not be exactly what you expected or what exactly is norm, what is usual.
Go ahead. Sorry.
It may not turn out the usual way things like this turn out. But I think it will turn. I mean, justice will be served. That's what I think.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. So we do have a bit of what we call a hard reading here, because it's not things are not showing up as, oh, this is all going to be okay. I am going to ask a couple of questions. Do you have a good lawyer at this time?
No.
You have no
state-provided lawyer.
State-provided lawyer. Okay. So this may be what Conjure Man was seeing when he was saying things that there was a there was a third party involved who was not advantageous.
Yeah.
And
yep, there it is.
That's where it is. If you can in any way afford a paid lawyer, I would recommend it, because as soon as he said that, I just got one of those sinking feelings. And it's been going on now for a while, and this is not good for you. You know, it's put your life on hold a bit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Now, I'm going to take what both of the readers said into consideration and put together some ideas for you. And I'm going to just throw these at you. I don't want to get into the details of your case because I don't want you to have to reveal things you don't want to reveal. But let's just
uh-huh.
talk about some. If there are, then do this, okay? So if there are witnesses who may speak against you, I want you to make a sugar jar or honey jar and put the witnesses' names and their photos, if you can, in that sugar or honey. So the way to do that would be to get their photo, if you can get it, get their name, if nothing else, and you're going to put them into a jar with sugar. And if you can go to a grocery store or something and get a whole vanilla bean, you can sometimes buy them. If not, just put a drop of vanilla flavoring into the sugar, stir it in. And also
okay.
a little bit of, just a little bit of cinnamon, just a little bit. And just a little bit of instant coffee. That's to pep them up. Cinnamon heats the thing up. Vanilla makes them sweet. And you can add a couple. Sometimes you can put in a little cocoa powder, too. That also makes them sweet and loving. But don't make it too dark. You know, you would make it no darker than you would sprinkle on to make cinnamon toast, right? Just a little bit of those things, mostly sugar.
Okay.
And you're going to put a little layer of that in, put their names in, put the rest of it on top. Then you're actually going to make cinnamon toast. I mean, you're going to actually be eating this off of their names, okay? And if you have their photos, so much
okay.
the better. These are witnesses. You can also put in to this cinnamon or honey or sugar, whatever. I like sugar for this particular purpose. You can also put in a little bit of powdered ginger if you want to. It's good for court cases. Just a tiny bit, just a little bit. It's going to be a little spicy. And you can put in the names of the prosecutors if there's the district attorney or whoever, the different people you know, and you're going to put in the judge, and you're going to ask everyone to be good to you, and your own lawyer, everyone that you call their name, and you say, now treat me with favor and respect, treat me well, okay? And if you have a court date coming up, you're going to use this jar. Let's say you have it's a jar, open, but you want a lid on it because you don't want ants to get in. So you're going to put a candle in it, and you can burn the candle, just a candle, like a tea light, or it could be a little birthday candle. If the wax gets in, just pull the wax out. It's not going to hurt you. And you light a little candle, not a big one now. Now, we're not talking about big old glass jar candles. Light a little candle in that thing, burn it, and then make yourself your little tea. Put a little of the sugar in the tea or the coffee, if you make coffee, or put it on cinnamon toast, and you eat it. And you say, may my words prevail over their words, because you're eating them. You see what I'm saying? You're eating up all
uh-huh.
their words. But they're also, their words are going to be sweet, so the sweetness will be in your mouth. When you go in, if you believe, and I do feel that there's a problem here because of what Ali said about clemency work, that he thinks that you may not get the best deal here. You want to get some sumac berries, and sumac berries come from a sumac bush, and they're little red berries. You can buy them online. Lucky Mojo sells them. Other places sell them. They're not expensive at all. Sumac berries. And if you feel that you're coming up on this date and you don't feel you're making a lot of progress here, I'd like you to put a few sumac berries. They're edible. And you can put the sumac berries in there. They're for mercy of the court. Now, on the 9 days before the court case, you're going to have 9 little brown candles. That's what you're going to burn on your sugar jar. And you can burn them on the lid if you'd rather not put them in the sugar. Some people just stand them right in the sugar. Some people put a lid on and stand them on the lid. For 9 days, you're going to burn those brown candles. If you have court case oil, you're going to dress it with that. If you don't have court case oil, just dress it with some holy oil and pray for justice. And you're going to pray for Psalms 35 you know, it's going to be for people to help you, for, you know. And so those are some of the things that I recommend. You can also go to the Lucky Mojo webpage on court cases, and there's a lot of information there of different other spells. Anybody else have anything to add to this?
I think that's fantastic. Yeah, if you're working with sumac berries, it's really fundamental to get a little bit of leniency there. I really highly recommend that you do some type of work in order to draw an ideal lawyer or representative for you. You can do this with a candle that you anoint with attraction oil. Underneath, you will write down a petition very clearly. I need a lawyer who is eloquent, who is fierce, who will be a champion for my cause. A lot of times, a sort of state-provided lawyer, they're overworked, they're exhausted, they're not your best representative. You want someone who feels passionately and is going to be a genuine advocate for you. So part of the sort of complementing work here should be about drawing in an ideal lawyer for yourself, drawing in a perfect representative or advocate. And that's gonna be crucial here for your success. So if possible, trying to find it. And if you can't afford it, then start looking at, you know, various organizations and foundations and whatnot who might be able to provide some type of assistance. We don't know the details of your case, but you really need to put an effort to finding an advocate for yourself.
Mm-hmm. And deer's tongue is used to get your advocate to speak on your behalf, or if you're going to testify, to make your words good. So let's talk a little bit about that in terms of court case products. I don't know what your timeline is or what your finances are. The Air Pro Bono Fund, by the way, if you apply to it, we give out free court case spiritual supplies to those who know how to use them and want to use them. Because often they are unable to get their own. So you might want to apply to the Air Pro Bono Fund. So if you want a mojo, for instance, you'd want a court case mojo. And usually in those, it would be a good thing to put in what's called a Little John to Chew or the court case root. Now, court case root, I mentioned putting a little bit of ginger powder in your sugar. That's because to get powdered court case root, court case Little John is a little more difficult. You can buy it. You can find it under the name Galangal and sometimes known as Asian brown ginger. But white ginger, which is Jamaican ginger, or that'll work. And if in a pinch, you can use turmeric also. That was a joke, a pinch. Haha. Powdered turmeric will also work. They're all in the ginger family. I hope somebody got the joke. There's also grains of paradise, which is also in the ginger family. It's the seeds of a different African ginger plant, and it's very common to put grains of paradise, 9 grains of paradise, in your mouth and hold them under your tongue when you're in court. Also to chew the Little John to Chew root, any member of the ginger family, and that would also include cardamom, can be used in court case work. All of them are good for that, and you want to have a little something spicy in your mouth, and then usually you spit a little bit of it out, or you discreetly, you know, put a finger up and just get a little bit of your spit and put it on in the court. Used to be in the old day, they'd spit on the floor, but that's to get the judge to be influenced to be in your favor. I also want to make sure that you have somebody who's an advocate, better than a lawyer. Somebody, you know, do you belong to a church? Any kind of nonprofit organization? Can anyone write a letter of attestation to your goodness? You need more help than you're getting. You're not getting enough help, and it's been going on for 5 years. You need better advocates.
Okay. Yeah.
I was sort of thinking an uncrossing bath. I don't know if there's uncrossing herbs.
No. We're not going that way.
No.
We're not going that way.
Okay.
Seriously. You're like, yeah, I'm being blocked and all that. You got blocked the minute you got in trouble. That's if you haven't done an uncrossing bath before now, that's not the problem. The problem is you got to go forward, face forward to the court issue. So many people run to uncrossing when they're not, and that they won't get what they really need. I mean, people who need a divorce, but they take an uncrossing bath and they should be doing a breakup, you know, or a separation. People who need love, but they do an uncrossing instead of going out and doing love me and going on a date. Uncrossing is past. You're past that point now. Wouldn't you agree with me, Ali?
Yeah, you're at the point where And crossing isn't going to help you too much. I mean, it's always good to start off with, but what you need is really active, aggressive. Like, you need to tackle this right away.
Yeah, yeah. And good luck to you. And come back and let us know how it goes, okay? All right. Now I believe we're going to have our kind of Rococo, possibly Baroque, music that will be classical in nature and brought to you by the Nagashiva Symphony Orchestra of the Air.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ollie, Sundays, 3 to 4:30. The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays, 5 to 6. The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, Fridays, 1 to 2. And Blue Flag Root Radio with Lady Muse, Fridays, 7 to 8. All time specific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
And now it's time to go to our freestyle segment with Sister Girl of Sister Girl Conjure in Los Angeles, California. Take it away, Sister Girl.
Okay. So I'm going to give you a photo spell today for you to work with. If you want to get somebody to think about you or you want to influence their thoughts about you, what you would do is you would take a photo of them. I like to print it out on paper. And you'll need a straight pin, which is not a needle but a pin. And what you'll do is you'll, for 9 mornings in a row or 9 days in a row, I like to work in the morning, you would take the photo and you would pierce it 9 times in the forehead area or the head. And then as you're piercing the photograph with the straight pin, you would talk to the picture and tell it what you wanted. Tell it what you wanted the person to think, what you wanted them to do, so on and so forth. And the person, you will be on their mind and they will be inclined to respond to you. And you'll stay on their minds as long as you do that. If you wanted to bring this person to you or to your door traditionally, but to you, you would take a photograph, not the same one you pierced with the needle, but you'll take a fresh photo and you would place it above your front door on the inside of the house. And every morning for 9 days, you'd wake up. And you would shout at the picture the person's full name 3 times in a row. So John Jenkins Jingleheimer Smith, John Jenkins Jingleheimer Smith, John Jenkins Jingleheimer Smith. And then that's it. And every morning you do the same thing. You do it for 9 days, that person will come to you. That I'm not saying they'll come to you at the end of the 9 days, but they should come to you. But then also keep in mind, when we do this type of work, we always want to do it with someone that we actually have a connection with. Like, don't be calling Brad Pitt. Do you know what I mean? And and make sure that it's someone you really want.
I love that. Don't be calling Brad Pitt. All right. All right. And there's a note in here that you said this spell was taken from 2 different interviews in the Harry Hyatt volumes. Just for those who don't know who Harry Hyatt is, I mean, there's always a new person comes in all the time. Harry Hyatt was an amateur folklorist. He grew up in Adams County, Illinois, and he collected folklore from Adams County, Illinois, and he also was into genealogy, and eventually, a few years after doing that, he was a minister in Episcopalian Anglican Church, and he decided to collect folklore in the South from African Americans, and he interviewed 1,605 black root workers and clients and collected thousands of spells, which he published many, many years later. He didn't have the money to publish them at first, and eventually he did get the money. He didn't want to use his wife's money. She was very rich, but he didn't want to use her money. But when she died, she left him the money, and then he published the books. So those books were recorded in 1936 to 1970, but mostly between 1936 and 1940. So just saying, this is where those spells came from. And thank you, Sister Girl, for bringing that material forward. The collections of Harry Hyatt are some of the most amazing types of spell work, some of the most valuable resources we have in the study of hoodoo. So just had to give a little shout out for that.
Well, I've used those, and they work. They do work.
Yeah. Now, not everyone is as good as everyone other. The one whole of the five volumes, one is just professional root doctors. That's probably the most valuable of the volumes, because it's not I heard this, but I do this, which is a different kind of interview. So with this work and putting things over the door, this might remind people of some things they've read in A Deck of Spells, where there was a spell that also came from the Harry Hyatt volumes that involved putting some playing cards up over the door if you were a prostitute to protect yourself from predatory or abusive clients as a sex worker. And this idea of the photos up over the door obviously had a widespread usage in hoodoo at that time. And it's not something we hear about now, because everybody all wants to have their house look like everybody else's house. They don't want to stick photos up, you know. I'll tell you, another one that's very similar to me is one that uses a photo upside down. So if you want someone's left and you want them to come back, in other words, they were in your house and they've gone to, you know, Birmingham and you want them to come back, you turn their photo upside down and burn candles in front of it until they come back. And then you turn the photo back right side up again. That's another version of that kind of a spell.
Yeah.
Mm, that's fantastic. I love these old-timey spells where the magic is involved with turning photos, manipulating photos, putting pins through photos, because I think people only think of photos as personal concerns and not as something that is intimately involved in the magic itself, that you can actually do things to photos, and that is the magic.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you another one that to get somebody to come back to you that's done is to take a photo and put it on your headboard of your bed, on the back of the headboard. Now, usually the headboard would be against the wall, and so you won't be able to see it. It faces you. It's taped to or pinned to or nailed to the back of the headboard. So basically you're lying in bed and their head is right behind you. And
yes.
You can send them dream thoughts. And another way is to take a photo if your lover is gone, and you want, you know, them to stay in touch with you, put their photo under their pillow. If they have a side of the bed that they sleep under, you put their photo there, and you can, you know, try to reach them in dreams. A lot of ways to work with photos of missing people, those who are gone.
Yeah, I mentioned the headboard one earlier, and another one is to place it under a cup of water. Both have a very similar effect of influencing dreams, drawing a person who is lost or has gone away back to you. Very simple working, right? People nowadays are sitting there going, I need to do work with this thing with the hair of a virgin and the, you know, horn of a goat, you know, found under a full moon. And conjure doctor's like, take that photo, turn it upside down, and put it up behind your head. Just speak to the beauty of it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. That's a good one. Putting it underwater is another, not in the water, but under a glass of water. Very, very good one. And another one I know is to take a glass of water and put the photo face down on top of an open glass of water. And the idea is to, you know, just call them back in. All righty. Well, let's turn this over to Evan. He's going to give us our closing announcements, and then we'll come back and say goodbye.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Ms. Kat, and thank you, Conjure Man. And thank you, Sister Girl of Sister Girl Conjure in Los Angeles, California, for being our guest this week. We invite you to join us next week when our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers will be John St. Germain of johnstgermain.com on healing pets with hoodoo. Once again, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour. brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjureman at conjuremanconsulting.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer, Evan Lionheart, joining you from readingsbyevan.com in New Jersey. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via the luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you so much, Evan. And I want to say thanks to everyone in the chat room. Laura, Hoodoo for You, Grateful Diana, Dr. Sweets, Doc Murphy, Cousin Joshua. Give everybody Miss Miranda Tarot, Onyx Rose, and Signe DC. So nice to see all of you guys here. Signe DC, drop me a line in a Facebook private message if you would be so kind. I had a message for you. All right. Well, I guess we'll just have to say that we'll see you all next week. Here we go. Goodbye.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Adios.